Hello and a warm welcome to our podcast, Successful Student Transitions, A Time to Thrive, hosted by Louise Wiles and Elizabeth Gillis. In this podcast, we aim to support young people as they step out of the world of school and into work and study and help them thrive in a new environment. In the previous podcast, we focused on understanding the benefits and challenges of stress during exam times, and we took a dive into our inner world of thoughts, feelings, and what might be around at that time. We were gaining and growing knowledge of ourselves and how to thrive in this challenging time. We discussed understanding our thoughts and feelings and why they are there, how to respond to them as information that you can use. We did some noticing exercises with thoughts and feelings, and you might want to return to them before you listen to this now. But we also talked about how we might reframe or view these things in a more helpful way. And also, I wanted to give you a few other examples of responding to those body feelings that we talked about that the last time. You know, that tension in your neck and shoulder, the butterflies in your tummy, that heart racing. And we want to add these to your toolkit. We've talked before about the importance of breathing. And I particularly like this thing called 4-6 breathing. So it's about taking an in-breath through your nose for a count of four, which would go a bit like this. In, two, three, four, and then a pause, and then a long out-breath. Out, two, three, four, five, six. And this breathing out more and longer than you're breathing in takes you to a more safe and social place. It kind of calms your vagus nerve. But of course, we don't want to do it too much, do we, Louise? Because we don't want a few people falling asleep, but we just want you to be feeling confident. So that's a really good thing to do. You know, practice kind of doing that as you're sitting down to your exam or walking on the way there. It could be a good thing to do. These things are called, when we notice and respond to our bodies, are something called somatic work. So it's body work. And Janina Fisher has a really great one, and she calls it lengthening your spine. So, you know, sometimes when you might have a low mood or you might be feeling bad about yourself or anxious, it might feel heavy. You might feel quite compressed or collapsed. And she encourages to notice what happens if we just lengthen our spine. So imagine there's a thread coming up from your head, and it's going to have a gentle, you do it as well, Louise, while I'm talking, see what it feels like, but a gentle stretch to lengthen your spine. It's not a sit up with your straight back in a kind of forced way, but it's a slow movement of stretching up and out, lengthening your spine. It's really easy to do. You can do it anywhere. You can do it while you're sitting, while you're standing, while you're walking. It's easy to do and not much effort. And just to notice what life feels like with that lengthened spine. Did you do it there, Louise?
I did it. Yes. Yeah.
Noticing. Anything nice with you? Yeah,
it's for expansion, which is nice. Yeah. So then you're probably breathing and taking a better breath of air in, which is also important. Yeah.
And getting the blood up to your brain, which is a really important. So the other somatic bit I was just going to share with you is about when we get focused on that heart beating or those butterflies in our tummy, whatever it is, we're kind of going inward, where it's an inward focus. So sometimes making a choice when you feel like that, rather than focusing internally, we focus externally. So I would invite you now just to look around the space where you are and to say in your head or out loud five things you see. So I can see a window, and actually outside of the window, I can see a tree that's quite bare leaves. There's my two. I can see my coffee cup. I can see an orchid that's just about to bloom, and I can see a blue vase. So just looking out and saying five things, and then taking a breath. And now I want you to focus on five things you can touch or feel. So I'm feeling I'm sitting on quite a soft chair that's kind of holding me. I can feel you know, especially if I move my body, I can feel my back being supported by the chair. I can feel my feet if I particularly push them into the floor. I can feel there's a hard desk surface in front of me. How many is that? And maybe I'm holding a pen at the moment, so I can feel that and I can turn it in my hand. And if you were to do that again, I would go back to five things you see and make them different, and five things you feel or touch and make them different too. But there's a real kind of benefit of going external rather than focusing on the internal. Nice thing to do. So a little bit of somatic work there, a little bit of body work, a little bit of calming down, a little bit about seeing beyond yourself, which is, I think, going to be a helpful thing for this tough time. So, of course, now we're also going to share some other strategies with you. And not surprisingly, they're going to be linked to our fundamental series. Louise, you want to kind of lead us through that?
Yeah, definitely. And before I do, just one thing to say about, so if we're focusing on exams and assessments, and of course, the type of exam or assessment you're thinking about or relating to this as you listen will differ depending on where you are in the educational journey and what kind of qualifications you're taking. So at times we'll be talking about those physical exams when you have to go and sit in a room and you're memorizing content, applying it to questions. But then you also, if you're at uni, for example, you may be doing some of your exams online. You may be being given projects to work on within a limited time. So given, you know, 24 hours to answer an assignment question with open books. So we just want to say ahead of that, that we recognize that this can vary depending on the qualification and the format of that qualification. So with that in mind, let's think about the fundamentals. And when we're talking about the fundamentals, we're thinking broadly about well-being and the factors that contribute to our well-being. So the first thing we'd like you to think about in relation to exams and assessments is thinking about what's worked for you in the past. Because of course you've taken assessments and exams in the past, either in school, college, whatever stage of the educational journey you're at. And you will have learned what works for you some of the time and what doesn't. So take some time now, perhaps pause the podcast and ask yourself, you know, when these have gone well, when I felt comfortable and I felt that I was performing at a really good level for me, what did I do pre to prepare? What did I do during the exam that helped me to perform at my best? So just have a think about that and notice that, because of course, all of those things can be applied to the future. But then also, having asked what did I do that worked well, you could also ask yourself, well, what did I do that didn't work so well? And that if I think about it now, I could adapt and change. So two questions there. Just have a little think about that. Perhaps draw a line down the middle of a page and write. So first question, what did I do that went very well? Like to repeat, what did I do that didn't go so well? And I can ask myself, well, what would I change? What would I adjust for it to be better next time?
Nice, Louise. I think that's a really useful thing to do. And you know, as we're focused on going into that, our inner mind a little bit more and observing and reflecting on things, I think one of the aspects of exams is likely you'll be doing it with lots of other people. And as we're social human beings, we'll be thinking about how we compare and we'll be contrasting and comparing ourselves with other people. So just remember that everybody will study in different ways. And just a little bit of my own learning on this. I remember a long time ago when I was a first year at university and I had a study buddy and we worked together. And I found out very quickly that the notes that she took, she could read off and remember them all word by word. Of course, that wasn't the way that I learned, but it did freak me out a little bit when I saw somebody else was learning and doing it a different way. So be careful on that self-comparison, because it might not work. And another self thing in our inner world is to remember that self-compassion, that inner compassion, as stress is common. And what words might you say to yourself at this time? What are the helpful things that you'd like to hear? You're doing well, you're working hard, you're trying your best. and watch out too for procrastination that might have a short-term effect of lowering your stress levels, that you might be operating on all those procrastination favourites that we've talked about, but it won't work for you in the long term. So remember when to try and into long-term gains here.
And I think also when you're comparing yourself to other people and noticing what other people are doing, this third point is quite an important one, and that's all about sleep. I know everyone sighs when people talk about sleep these days because there is so much about it everywhere at the moment. But that's because actually we're beginning to realise how very, very important sleep is. I left uni in the 80s and sleep was very much not fashionable then. You know, it was all about definitely burning the candle at both ends and working hard, and hard meant, you know, you worked late and you studied hard and you didn't have a lot of sleep. It was the year of Thatcher, Margaret Thatcher, the Prime Minister, who famously survived on 4 hours sleep, which actually now, knowing what we know about sleep, is actually quite a frightening thought for a Prime Minister. But we now know that you will perform better, much, much better, if you have had good night's sleep. So that's kind of six minimum, but preferably 7 or 8 hours sleep. Okay, it varies from person to person, so not being prescriptive in that, but you know what you need to feel your best. You want to be able to think clearly. You want to be able to perform at your best. So make sure that you are allowing yourself the time to sleep, you know, in the build up to exams and then during the exams. It's very helpful to get sunlight if there is such a thing. I know this is the UK, but sunlight first thing in the morning, just daylight actually really helps as well. So if you can get yourself up and out early just for 10 minutes outside, that really helps to set your circadian rhythm and also to set you up for the day. I know that often you study in your bedrooms because that's where your study desk is, and their rooms are set up at uni, especially in the first year for studying. But if you can change that up and study in libraries and around the campus, that can be really helpful because it's not always great to be studying and then sleeping all the time in the same room. And work out the times that are good for you for effective work and revision. You know, we all work best at different times of the day. That depends on us. So work out what your best time is. Do you prefer the morning, the afternoon, the evening? But remember not to be working too late at night. It's really good to have that sort of hour buffer between finishing working and sort of getting into bed to go to sleep. Often people talk about having a nice warm shower an hour before you go to bed. That helps to calm you, relax you. Remember, not too many screens as you get into bed. In fact, it would be best if there were none. You could read something that takes your mind completely off the studying and the work that you're having to do, as you sort of relax and calm down and listen to calming music. That's often really helpful too. So give some priority to thought around sleep, what works best for you and how you're going to maximize your sleep and sleep quality in the build up to exam.
Yeah, really important, Louise. And as is movement too, and exercise, taking time out to do something completely different, it's a great thing to be able to do. So it's really important to take that break to try and reduce stress, as we know that exercise and movement does, focusing on looking after your body, breathing, stretching, yoga. And you know, one of my favorites is walking outside. You know, you're going to get a bit of light then as well, and having that time when you're in nature. So taking good breaks, not you can't be working all the time, getting out and about. If you can do it with somebody else, now you're going to kill two birds with one stone.
Yeah. And then eating well, protein, and feeding your brain. Our brains take up or utilize 20% of our total energy. So it's really important to be feeding our brains. But then also with all the information, the research about gut-brain health now, I think it's really important to be thinking about what you're feeding your gut as well, ensuring that it's nourishing food. It's not all chocolate. It's not all sweets and sugar. look to have a balance. I'm not saying don't have any of that, that fun stuff, but just make sure that you're getting some of the good stuff as well. So you need protein, you need some carbohydrates for energy, and you also need lots of vegetables and fruits. So try and build up a nice balanced diet, regularly eating regularly, not just once a day. You know, I think it's sometimes very easy not to eat because you're busy doing things and you just don't have time. But you can get overcome that by thinking ahead, batch cooking, cooking nourishing meals ahead of time, breaking them down into daily portions that you can quickly defrost or cook from frozen in the oven and microwave. And also, really important, keep hydrated. So keep drinking water, whatever your liquid fluid of choice is, preferably not alcohol all the time. And think about healthy snacks too. So what can you eat? Well, perhaps just before an exam, or if you're allowed to take anything into an exam to eat, take into an exam. I'm not sure you can. I don't know. That will depend on where you are. But make sure that you are well fed and watered before you sit down to any assessments.
Next one we're going to talk about is rest. So, you know, Louise talked about having that sleep. So notice that if you're waking up after your sleep, after you've been in bed and you're still feeling tired, there's a big signal that rest is needed. And in our podcast on the fundamentals about rest, we introduce you to 7 different kinds of rest, be it mental rest. I mean, I would imagine that if you're working really hard and studying and practicing and reading and doing all the things that you need to do, you're going to be tired. So important that you have some mental rest to going off and doing things that we're talking about here, you know, cooking or exercising or, you know, linking up with other people, doing things you enjoy, actually might be the rest that you need to balance out the mental load that you have. So think about your form of rest that works for you. Might be even listening to a podcast like this one. So regular breaks when you study. You're not a robot. You can't be studying all the time. Remember to take breaks.
Yeah. And as Elizabeth said, they're part of the rest, or one of the forms of rest you might take is to connect with friends, so relationships. So remember to make time for talking with friends and family, arranging to be with others and to, you know, have a nice time with others, doing something fun, perhaps something interesting that takes your mind off the studying load that you've got. But also in relation to study, you might want to be part of a study group, or have a study buddy just to support each other, inspire each other, motivate each other, and perhaps test each other out if you are studying the same subject. So that's also worth a thought. And also remember to build something in that rewards you for the work that you're doing, and also something to look forward to at the end once all these assessments are over. So how are you going to celebrate? What's your post-celebration event going to be? Who's going to be involved? Why don't you get planning something? And that will be something to look forward to and work towards. And then another area I wanted to talk about was meaning. So we are all motivated more when we have a sense of why we're working towards something. So it's worth thinking about the meaning that lies behind the subject that you're studying and why you're studying it, what you're hoping for or hoping to gain in the long term through the work that you're doing now, what you're working towards. And, you know, when we're working on something that's meaningful to us, it has meaning. And so a lot of people might say, well, yeah, and then that matters a lot. And then we get anxious and a bit stressed about it. And that's true. Yeah, there is this trade-off between something meaning a lot to us and therefore being important to us, and therefore our stress levels rising because we obviously want to do well. But equally, when something is meaningful for us, we tend to invest better in what we're doing, and we therefore build our knowledge around something, our skills around it, to a better level. And what we're doing when we're doing that is building our competence, which in turn builds our confidence, which helps us in our approach to what we're doing. So meaning is really important. It's kind of an antidote in a sense to the stress, because it tells us why it's so important to us and why it's worth living through that heightened level of perhaps stress and anxiety that might come from caring so much about something. But I think it's really important to take time to notice as you're studying, notice the knowledge that you're gaining, notice the level of competency that you're gaining and the strength that you're gaining in subject area, and reflect on that as you're seeing progress. You know, congratulate yourself, recognize that that is really important in building your confidence around what you're doing, and therefore hopefully your sort of sense of ability and to take on the exams and to do your very best at them. So meaning is important. Remind yourself why it matters to you and build that sense of competence and confidence, and that will help you as you prepare for your exams and assessments too.
Yeah, I think that's another really important one. And of course, we're now going to talk about organization. And if you do look online or you read about it in books, this is the bit that people focus on a lot. And the reason I want you to remember all this other stuff we talked about too, of course, organization is important, but all of these other things are as well. So we took some of these ideas that we're going to talk about now from a really good website, a UK website called innerdrive.co.uk. We'll put it up on the Instagram or a link. And, you know, they're bringing research and looking at the things that work well for students when they're well organized. And it's about planning and building supportive work habits towards the exam date. Notice I say towards, like, you know, you want to not just start the week before, but you're kind of working up towards it. And it's not just about the time of study, but what you're doing in the study time. So, of course, setting blocks of time is important, but how you structure that is really vital. And there's evidence of these things that work. So the first thing I'm going to talk about, you might have heard of this thing called the Pomodoro technique. Well, it's called the Pomodoro because it was described around using a tomato-shaped timer. And you would study for a particular time, say 20 minutes, 25 minutes. You'd have a goal for your study. So it would be deliberate practice. You're not just going, oh, I'm going to sit down and just read this chapter. You'd have goals about what you wanted out of that, reading that chapter. A name of what you were doing, what you were going to learn, what you were focused on. And it'd be the kind of research says it should be mentally demanding. So you should be asking yourself, making questions, assessing your learning as you're going on. Often the Pomodoro technique, you kind of test yourself a little bit at the end. Did I learn what I needed to learn? So it's very active learning. So that's about chunking your time, and that's what the Pomodoro technique does in particular. Then we can talk about something called retrieval practice. So this study strategy challenges you to recall information. So it's about making up questions that you think, oh, this might be a question come up, or if I'm not sure about it, can I ask myself this question? Would I know the answer? And of course, if you're a study buddy, you might make and share questions with a partner. You also might be practicing tests at this. So it's about making sure you're knowing the information that you want to. Another strategy is called spacing, where you're going over and revising often the same material. So it's little and often that helps move the information from your short-term memory into your longer-term memory. So not huge periods of time, but short, say 5 minutes every morning, I'm going to learn the periodic table and I'll be able to do da-da-da. So really focused, going over it often, little and often. Interleaving is actually where you mix up areas of study on each day. And it might help you with retention of material and focus on what's needed in different areas of study or revision. So it might be you do a bit of study for one block of time and then something completely different for something else. So you'd be mixing it up in different kind of ways. Something called dual coding is when you're trying to enhance learning by using words and pictures. So you might be mind mapping, or you might be making yourself some flashcards. And actually, it's one of the things that a lot of people in research around studying for exams and revision, people seem to like flashcards because, again, it's that very active learning. You're making up something for yourself. You're designing it for yourself. You might be drawing pictures. You might be linking up things together. So that routine, regular times in a day, in a week, in a place might also help. So, you know, you're going to the library, say at 10 o'clock, and you're there until 12, and you're just focusing that, doing these sort of different strategies. So keeping regular times in a day, in a week, in a place is a good thing to do. Another thing that I think is really good when I'm working, especially with younger learners, is that you're learning to teach something. So if you're explaining something, you say, right, now you teach me that. See if you can help me understand that. So it helps confirm what you know and what you need to learn more about. And something we've mentioned before when we've talked about procrastination is that importance of task initiation. So starting off, so starting your revision in the first instance for 10 minutes can lead to increased motivation and working to complete a task. So there's lots of really, the research says there's lots of helpful strategies there. And it might be, but you might be already doing these things. And if you're not, be thinking of what might help. And as well as people knowing what does help, on the whole, these things that I'm going to say next, they aren't helpful. Cramming at the last minute usually brings lots of stress with it and very poor retention of information. Rereading your notes, why is that not very helpful? Because I think it's viewed to be quite a passive activity. So the more you can be active in your learning, like testing yourself with questions or somebody else giving you questions or using your flashcards or whatever it is. So that seemed to be quite a passive activity and doesn't work really well. And this idea of multitasking, you know, of having some music on or your phone next to you with text coming, well, actually, having some distractions around is also viewed not to be helpful. You might think it is, but the research shows that it's not. It really creates a 20% reduction in concentration at the time and performance later on. And that other thing that I think maybe lots of people do, and I know I've done it in the past, that highlighting, and by the end of it, everything's highlighted. So maybe highlighting is not that helpful either. So there's the helpful and not so helpful.
Yeah, I think I'm guilty of pretty much all of those, or have been over the years. Yeah. Okay, so we've discussed a lot of the preparation before the exam. So now let's think about the day itself and what happens afterwards. So first thing, have a plan for your exam and remember what you've done before and what's worked well. And also just setting this within the context, this might be an exam that you're going to do in a set location, or it might be one that you're doing online, or it might be one that you're doing over a period of time online at home. So just, you know, apply what we say to those situations as you see fit. So make sure that you settle and give yourself time to settle into your space. So, you know, breathe, as we talked about at the beginning, use perhaps one of Elizabeth's breathing exercises, and notice the signals that are wanting you to do well. You know, that's why you're feeling a little bit anxious. That's why you're feeling a little bit stressed, because it matters to you. We talked about the meaning a bit. And so it's very natural that is what you're feeling. In fact, if you didn't feel it, you'd probably be too laid back, and that wouldn't be a good thing either. So don't be worried about the fact that you're feeling like this. It's actually quite normal. And once you do open the paper, some people like to take time to read all the questions carefully at the start and think and plan out the order in which they're going to attempt the questions, because of course you don't have to do them in the order in which they appear in the paper. Often the easier questions start at the beginning of the paper, so you might want to start there because it's a nice introduction to the paper, gives you a bit of confidence, you know, to do the ones that you can get done quite easily. But as you go through the paper, notice the ones that have the heavier weighting, the ones with the bigger marks, and perhaps prioritise those. And think and plan the order of the questions. So don't just look through and go, I'll start here, and then not know what's going to happen next. You know, think about what's there, what should I start with, where am I going to go next after that? Timing. Think about your timing carefully. So some of the big questions are obviously going to take longer, and they will take more time for you to sort of think through before you get to answering the questions. So notice some of the questions and notice if some are given higher weighting than others, because you'll want to spend more time on those. So having gone through the paper and looked at the types of questions, the weighting of the marks, then plan how you're going to attack the paper, what you're going to be doing first, where you're going to be spending most time. And remember to set yourself time to read and check the answers at the end. It can be so tempting, I know, to just go, oh, it's done. Great, I can go. But just take that last 10 minutes to check, because you can get some extra marks through that checking. And so it's worth staying and doing. If there's an essay question, then take time to do some planning. And I know, I remember I used to do mind maps, and we all have our different ways of doing a plan, but I used to love doing a mind map for my essay plan. And I would spend a good, you know, percentage of the time actually doing the plan, because that really helped me then structure the actual essay. So take the time to plan, and then you'll sort of get stuck into answering it. And keep asking yourself, have I answered the question or not? You remember, often it's about discussion, it's about analysis. So make sure that that's actually going into your question answer as well. Keep time, a check of the time. So keep monitoring your time and checking that you are on time and on target. And then if you're doing an open book exam, I think the preparation is slightly different for that, because, and I guess this goes back to actually the revision and the way you're preparing for exams before you take them. Because if you have an open book exam, you don't need to have memorized everything, but you do need that content and information to be accessible. So think carefully about, you know, if I have an answer question that I have to write an essay for example, I need to know references and might need some definitions, make sure they're to hand. Perhaps create yourself some crib sheets that are easily accessible, that have all of that information there and available. So you're not having to flick through endless books and notes and think, oh, I've got to go back to that essay I wrote five months ago. Make sure that you have as much as you can prepared and accessible, because that will ease your answers and ease the progress you make. On the day of the exam, Elizabeth, do you want to do this bit?
Yeah, on the day of the exam, here it is, all your prep's done. Should be feeling good about yourself. Nourish your brain with a good breakfast and some food. Make sure you're hydrated. Notice and respond to your signals with a reframe or kind of reappraisal, or, you know, there's that anxiety it's wanting me to do well. You know, there's my tummy being, you know, a bit flighty. My butterflies, get them in order. They're there because, you know, I care. You know, actually, in the exam, my body doesn't need to digest. It needs to be, the blood needs to be in my brain. So that's maybe where my butterflies are. Give yourself plenty of time to get to where you need to be with the stuff that you need to have. And that inner compassion and acknowledge your preparation is really important. And have your exam plan. Have those things that Louise sort of talked there about, important sort of settling into the space, giving yourself a bit of a breather, calming yourself down, not too much, because you need to have that good stress level that we talked about. Exam done. What do you do afterwards? Well, it might be tempting to rehash these questions and answers with fellow students or people that are sitting your exams with. But know if that works for you. It might be helpful if you feel you've done well to do that. However, it could also lead to a bit of self-doubt and some more stress. Oh, gosh, I didn't put that. I should have done something else. And that, all that stuff could get in the way of, because normally if you've got some assessments, they don't just come in ones, don't they? They come in series together. So it could stop you from getting back to doing, having a bit of a break and then study for your next exams. So know if that rehashing works for you or not. Maybe more importantly, not to do it if working a group's not good for you, but think about if there are some learning points for yourself. Perhaps importantly, when you receive your results, you know, don't go over that and kind of really criticize yourself, but be thinking about how was your revision and exam plan, what worked well for you, and anything that you do different next time. And Louise and I would really impress on you. Remember, we often talk about rest and recovery. And after an exam or a bit of assessment like this, when there has been maybe good or maybe not so good stress around, even more important that you have some rest and recovery time. Remember our image about the bulbs and the tulips, about having some rest for these blooms to appear. So this has likely been quite a podcast that's been packed full of information. I wouldn't be surprised if you wanted to go and listen to it again. There's lots of things to get to grips with. There might be things in you saying, yeah, I'm doing that. Yeah, I'm doing that. Those are good things. Yeah, I'm on that path. Those are things I'm doing well. And even with that, we'd ask you to think about what the top three areas for you to focus on. And we'd suggest that you take one area to kind of really develop. And maybe organization should be that one, because that's the important one. But two others to explore for you and to think about how it might help you thrive in this exam time. Notice what's helping you. Thanks for listening in today. And maybe you need to end the session with a little bit of your 4-6 breathing to calm you down after this. What do you think, Louise?
Yes, it's a 4-6 breathing to calm you down. But obviously, we wish you all the best with upcoming exams and assessments. Bye-bye for now. So thanks so much for listening. Now, over the past 2 weeks, we've covered a lot of ground. If you didn't hear the previous episode where we discussed stress, good stress, often referred to as eustress, and what to do when things become overwhelming, then we recommend that you go and take a listen. It's all about being proactive and getting to know yourself and your own response to stress. If you want to listen to more on topics discussed today, then here are some suggestions from past episodes and further resources. When talking about different learning strategies, Elizabeth mentioned a great online resource, innerdrive.co.uk. Now, we've got an upcoming episode where Elizabeth talks with them about supporting students to learn in the most effective ways, so look out for that. We also discuss the wellbeing fundamentals. If you want a more in-depth dive on these four subjects and other aspects of wellbeing, go to episode 21, the first in the episode, or the series, sorry, of fundamentals, and the series runs to episode 35. There are also episodes on movement, sleep, nutrition, rest, and recovery. So we both wish you all the best with your upcoming assessments and exams. And on the subject of rest, I love this quote. Almost everything will work again if you unplug it for a few minutes, including you, Anne Lamott. So remember to unplug and take some well-earned time for rest and recovery. Wishing you a great week. Bye-bye for now. And now for the legal bits. The information contained in this podcast is for information purposes only. The content is not intended to act as a substitute for professional advice. Please do not delay in seeking professional help for any medical or mental health condition. Use of the information in this podcast and associated materials is at the user's own risk.